He said, any advice for parents with two kids, they're very young, getting the romance back up? Oh, that's just hard. You have to be very intentional. I think discipline with your schedules, making sure like what's important. Is it important to go out all the time and meet with other people and do all these things for your kids, or is your romantic life more important? And also knowing that this is just a season of your life. Like, you're not going to be there forever with littles. And but just being, I think, being very intentional with your time. Sometimes in the season, you got to cut out other things to make something else a priority. And so little kids are hard.
Yeah. Well, I would also say that like clear communication with your spouse, because what'll happen is, and I've been there a lot, when you look at reasons for divorce and you break it up between a husband and a wife, a lot of men start having, whether it's a texting affair or something online, something with a coworker at work, because they don't feel like their wife with new children in the house doesn't have enough time for them. And so that's why it's always important to have a marriage checkup and ask like, hey, how are we doing? Are we dating enough? Are we spending enough time together in the evening? Like Chrissy and I, like our kids have a bedtime. Like we lay them down at 8, and like if they come out, we're like, nope, hey, it's mom and dad time. Because then that gives us a couple hours alone. And again, whether that's romantic, whether that's just watching something, whether it's just laying in bed and talking. And so it's important to have those conversations. And romance is different to everybody. So your spouse, you need to know what's romance to your spouse and what's not.
I bet you two have a toxic relationship, but act non-toxic online. Listen, I don't have time for that. I don't have time for that. How do you get energy to keep your spouse involved if they don't want to stay in the conversation? I think that is a conversation to have separately, because everybody thinks different and they process information different. And you also have to know your spouse. For me, I know not to bring up important conversations in bed with Joe. He's tired. He got up early. He's worked hard all day long. His brain is not working at night. And so, or when he's hungry. It's just, it sounds silly and immature, but it has actually helped. And so you have to know your spouse and say, okay, now's not the time, but there has to be a time. And so to have that conversation, and your spouse has to be emotionally mature enough to say, okay, I do actually have to engage in conversation with my spouse. And like we talked about earlier, maybe you need a third party to come in and say, no, you actually need to talk to your spouse and you need to actually have conversations and act like you want to be a part of this relationship. And so you saying that probably isn't the healthiest, but hearing it from somebody else.
Yeah. And also, if you guys have more questions, comment below. But somebody said this, and it's so true. She said, and maybe it's a guy, I have 5 children, 2 or 3.5. You can do it. Just start sending flirty messages and make time. So that's so true. Chrissy and I will do that with text. Thank you for saying that. It's so true. And it's like, there's almost like an expectation or an anticipation of starting to send a flirty text with each other of what you're expecting that evening, right? Of just like, let's lay the kids down and just like spend time with each other and watch something. Let's, you know, like, and again, it goes into intimacy, goes into everything, but you're spot on. That's such a great point. You know, when we have 4 kids, we get it. You know, again, one of them's 25, so she doesn't really count as for being like in the house and always taking up our time. But the 3 littles, they are constantly trying to like take
little time vampires.
They are. They just want to suck the life out of you. And so it is. It's like getting them on that schedule, helping out. Jody said, I send naughty or flirty texts and all I get is LOL or oh yeah, ? See, like, so for me, I love that from Chrissy. But I don't know. It's just my way my mind is wired. It's like, I'm checking out of work early right now. She's like, no, the kids are still awake. They're, you know, I'm like, I don't care. Get them in the garage. Get them out of the house. Send them to the park.
I think, but that honestly, that was a conversation. I'll just be honest right now. That was a conversation that we had. He was like, hey, listen, I actually really like this. I actually like the flirty conversations. And I had, because he's silly all the time. He's just goofy and he messes around a lot. And so when he would originally send me those text messages, I was like, okay, here we go. He's being a weirdo. But like, he was actually serious about it. So we actually had that conversation. I'm like, okay, was it natural for me to engage back? Absolutely not. But for anything in life, when you do something new, it's awkward. And so maybe have that conversation with your spouse and say, hey, babe, like, I actually like this. Can you engage? Because when he said that to me, I was like, okay. And so I just had to, it was something that he liked. And he does it, you know, the same for me. There are things that I like that he does not like. And he engages in it because I like them and mm-hmm. he likes me.
Yep.
So.
Somebody said also boundaries. That's so, it's so true and it's so good. We need boundaries set up in our marriage and with our children, right? So that's like for us. And again, everyone's different. So some of this stuff will work for you. Some of it won't. You figure out what works for your marriage. Just make sure you're working on your marriage. What works for Chrissy and I is not having the kids in our room. We just moved and actually now we have like a bigger bedroom than we've ever had. And they want to be in here all the time playing. And we were actually talking about this yesterday. It's like our bedroom is like our sanctuary. So it's like we want to kick these little rugrats out. Like one, of course, they don't sleep with us. That's just a boundary we set up because I want to be with my wife. And if I want to roll over and have sex with my wife in the middle of the night, I mean, again, that doesn't happen because when she's asleep, don't wake her. But if it ever did happen, I don't want a kid between us that's going to be awkward and weird. You know what I mean? So again, for boundaries, that's a boundary we have set up. Since we first had Gwen, our 8-year-old, she has slept in her crib. Same with Vivi, same with Ellis. Obviously, our adopted daughter always slept in her bed. And so that's a boundary for us. Another boundary is what I said earlier. We have a bedtime for our kids. That's a boundary so Chrissy and I can spend time alone. We just don't let them fall asleep wherever, whenever. We tuck them in. We pray for them. We get them water. I mean, you guys know the routine, right? Like, your kids are never more concerned about their hydration than when they're going to bed.
It's so true. It's so annoying.
And it's like, listen, it is bedtime. I need time alone with your mother, yeah. You know? So boundaries. And there's all kinds of boundaries, right? There's boundaries in the way that you communicate with the opposite sex. There's boundaries with work. I had to put boundaries on myself. So again, like our job is like this. Our job could go 24/7 because it's marriage ministry, it's pastoring, it's church planting. We have to have the boundary of shutting the computer, shutting off the phone and focusing on each other, on the family, all the stuff. So anyways, great observation when you said boundaries. I love that.
I don't know how to go without.
Yeah, I know. We'll have to see if we, other questions. Sorry. TikTok is weird. Like once you start scrolling, like it just jumps to the bottom. So we're trying to read through some questions.
You guys are cool. I try to tell myself that. I wish I didn't have to tell him. You know what? He can't read your mind. And so men need different things than women need. And so I'm not sure what you're talking about specifically, but communication in general and telling your spouse what you need is so important. Because listen, if I told him what I needed when I was 25 years old and he stuck to that thing, I am not the same person. I'm not the same person and I don't have the same needs that I did when I was 25. Now that I'm 29.
You are, baby.
But now that I'm older, I have different needs. And so what that means is I need to communicate those needs to him, no matter what it is, whether it's physically, emotionally, whatever the case may be, I need to communicate those things to him because he cannot read my mind and vice versa. And it brings you closer together. It helps you to grow together. Once you feel like your spouse should know, that is a very dangerous place to be. And you shouldn't want to be there. You should want to communicate your needs. Mm-hmm. You should want to meet your spouse's needs. And that is where it does get hard and difficult, but I think it's worth it in the end. But once you get to that spot of like, they should know, that's just not a healthy place to be in your marriage.
Yeah. Somebody said, you know, define naughty. Is it immoral? Is it going against God's, you know, what God says?
That's a good question.
Great question. So again, this is for married couples.
Yeah.
And so if you read the book, The Song of Solomon, that's very graphic. The way that Solomon is talking to the woman that he is pursuing and vice versa. I mean, he talks about her breasts. He talks about her teeth. He talks about...
It was important back then.
And literally, that's like us texting today about what we love about our spouse, you know, about, and again, sexual, naughty, romantic, encouraging.
I think what has happened is a lot of the stuff has... Like the things that God has made for us have been perverted by the world. And so what I would ask yourself is this, is one, if you're a follower of Christ, I'm assuming, I don't know the full context of this question, but what I'm assuming is a lot of the things that we have been told It's like, okay, for instance, as a Christian, don't have sex, don't have sex, don't have sex. You're told this your whole life, and then you get married, and it's like, go for it. And it's like, wait a minute. I've been told my whole life this is bad, this is gross, and don't do it. And now it's like, wait, what do I do? And I think as a church, we've done a really bad job of teaching people what they can and they cannot do. It's not don't do it. It's just wait. And anyways, and so what I would do is if you feel like shame or anything like that with something with your spouse, I would just ask yourself, why? Why do I feel that way? And is it biblical? And then just go to the source, go to the Bible. Is this biblical? What does the Bible say about what I can and I cannot do? And so just constantly asking the why behind it. Why do I feel this way?
And Chrissy's so good at saying this. She's like, when it comes to intimacy, when it comes to romantic texts, when it comes to flirting, those are things that you can only give your spouse. Your spouse can get affirmation from someone else. They can get gifts from someone else. They can get quality time from someone else. They can get, you know what I mean? But they can only get that from you. And so that's why, like, I believe, like, again, it's healthy in the relationship. And I've heard a pastor share it this way before. When you look at a fireplace, okay, when a fire is in the fireplace, it's safe. It's warming up the house. It's not burning it down. Nobody's getting hurt. It's behind glass or however your fireplace looks. Now, if I took that same fire and put it in the middle of my living room, it's going to cause destruction. It's going to cause devastation. It could even cause death. And so when it looks like sex and intimacy, when it's in the marriage confines of a healthy relationship, it's safe. But when it becomes outside of that, that's when there's destruction and death. So yeah, we should be able to flirt with our spouse. I should be able to text my wife things that I like sexually, vice versa. Things that I look forward to with her. Things that she looks forward to with me. Naughty text, and it's not a sin. Again, yeah. Go back and read Song of Solomon. It'll show you. We have 23 other messages.
But I do want to say this to that. Make sure you both are comfortable with it. If one person is not comfortable with it, don't do it.
Yep.
And that goes back to communication. You have to communicate to your spouse, like, I'm not comfortable with this. Yep. Okay. And then don't push it.
Somebody asked, are you guys married? Yes, we are. We've been married for 13 years. We've been
together for almost 20.
Yeah. I've known her since, well, in my mind, we've been together since seventh grade, but in hers, we weren't. somebody said advice on setting boundaries for blended family. There is a book about blended families by Jimmy Evans and someone else. I'd suggest that because when it comes to it, what we teach people, and again, it's from the Bible, to become one. And so what's hard in blended families is saying, like, I know they're your children, but now they are our children. And we have to say, mom and dad, though, this relationship comes before your and their relationship or my and their relationship, you know? And it's hard.
We talk about communication so much, but in a blended family, you have to be so right on in communication, and you have to agree ahead of time. Because I'm telling you right now, your children, whether it's yours, mine, or ours, they are going to try to divide the crap out of you to get their way. It's just the natural sinfulness of humans. They want to get their way. So if dad's going to let me do it, I'm going to go to dad. If mom's going to let me do it, I'm going to go to mom. And so your communication needs to be so good, especially in a blended family, because whatever they can use against you, they will, just to get their way. And so communication, we recommend going away for, you know, a couple days out of the year and just say, like, okay, let's talk about all of these things beforehand. Mm-hmm. So when our children come to us, we already have an answer. And so communication is so key.
Somebody said, I communicate with my spouse. However, the suggestions and conversations only last maybe a week. Yep. And so that's where I would say it goes back to a marriage checkup.
Yeah.
Chrissy and I try to do it always on our date nights when we're driving, stuff like that. Like when you want to have a marriage checkup because you want to know where they're at, right? Because things, just to be honest, we all forget things. Like, as much as I want Chrissy to be the center of our family, it always drifts to me. Like, we're naturally selfish. Like,
yeah,
we're naturally selfish. I naturally think about my things and what I want first. And so same thing with Chrissy. And so what we have to do is we have to say, okay, let's get a realignment. Let's have a marriage checkup. Where have I been off? Hey, you've been doing awesome here, here, and here, but I've been asking you to fill in the blank of, you know, whatever, wherever you feel like he's getting off, and you keep bringing him back. That's, I mean, if I can just be honest, Chrissy and I, when it comes to marriage checkup, a lot of times it's to remind her to affirm me, and it's to remind her to her engage in sex, you know?
Somebody asked, what's a marriage checkup? It's just something that we came up with. So when we go on dates or when we have like time alone, it's something we try to do once a week or every other week. And it's just asking three things I'm doing right and one thing that I can work on. And then we both answer it. So I ask him, what are three things that I'm doing right that I can continue to do that you like or that you appreciate or whatever the case may be? And then one thing that I can do better. Not what you have to be careful on your verbiage. Not mm-hmm. one thing that you're screwing up on or you suck at. It's what is one thing that I could do better at. So that's a marriage checkup.
Yep.
We used to do three and three. That's too much. And so it's three and one. So it's not overwhelming.
You know why it's too much? Also because us guys forget about what our spouse told us to work on.
I forget. We've got busy lives. So if I can focus on one thing yep. every week to make it better until I get it, like I need help.
Yep. Hey, we're going to be wrapping up soon. So if you have questions, go ahead and put it. Somebody said, I have a tough question for you all. We'll see what that is. Is that your question?
What are your jobs? Oh, it's going too fast.
Yeah, I know.
Jody, who was that? I have a tough question. So Alan.
And if you passed it.
I did? I don't know how this works. See? Okay, you do it. You guys do have questions, DM us, shoot us a message, and we can always answer things privately. Mm-hmm. If you really need
your question. Is love a feeling or an action? Both.
Yes. I can feel in love sometimes. Like, I'll tell him, I'm like, I love you. Because sometimes I'm really feeling like how much I love and appreciate him. And he'll say, I love you. And I'll say, no, I really love you. And then he knows that it's a moment because that's a feeling. Like, I just feel overwhelmed with appreciation for him or whatever the case may be. Like, I really love you, but it's an action because I love him and I have made a commitment to him my whole life. There are other things in my life that I say that I, you know, love or whatever. I don't feel that way all the time. You know what I'm saying? And so, but I'm going to, because I've committed, and we believe that marriage is a covenant, it's not a contract. And so I'm going to live my life as if that is true. My marriage is a covenant. And because it's a covenant, I am going to use my actions to prove that thing.
Yep. You know, we're also, our relationship, and we'll end with this. When we were dating, our relationship was not good until we both found a relationship with Jesus. And when you look at God, he loves us and he proved it in his action by sending Jesus to die for us. Mm-hmm. And even when we're you know, pushing God away, when we're saying he's not real, when we're saying all this stuff, he wouldn't change his action. He doesn't say, well, I'm going to let my son die for you if only you choose me. He's like, mm-hmm. no, I love you even if you don't choose me.
Yeah.
I'm going to send Jesus to die for you even if you reject him. And that's how love needs to look. Love needs to be like, no matter what, I'm going to love you. I'm going to show action. And that's why, like Chrissy and I, we teach this. We're like, it's 100-0 because that's the biblical model. God gave 100 even if you give 0. So I'm going to give 100 to Chrissy even if she gives 0 and vice versa. Now, here's the thing. We're not saying be perfect in your marriage because there's times when you're tired. There's times when you're just not connecting. There's times when you're just frustrated. There's real life. But when I'm only giving 50%, she'll notice that and be like, hey, I'm going to come in with 100 because she gets there mentally and spiritually and in her love of saying, I've chosen Joe. I've said I'm going to love him and now I'm going to put my action behind it.
Yeah.
And so that's when it looks like love and what that actually is. Is mm-hmm. it an action? Yes. And is it a feeling? Yes.
Yeah, it's both. What yeah. a good question.
Yeah.
If our boundaries, I think you're responding to somebody else.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Again, we just went to thefivelovelanguages.com and we looked up gifts according to love languages. And I'm telling you, it will help you and make your life so much easier.
Somebody asked a great question. When do you draw the line from that 100 if he's only giving 25%?
Oh man, if you feel like that you've done everything and you've communicated, you know, I don't know if you guys have ever had counseling. We are just avid people for counseling. Like, I think everybody needs it at some point in their life and in their marriage, because we don't know everything. If you don't have a good support system in your life for your marriage, like, you need all of those things. Marriage is very difficult and it is under attack right now, especially in the United States. And so if you don't have a good support system, it's not going to work. And so what I would say is go to counseling, and if he doesn't go, you keep going. Mm-hmm. You keep going, because one going to counseling is way better than none going to counseling. And so, you know, and then I think that was a woman that said that. Could you tell?
I thought it was.
Okay. I recommend this book to every single woman that I talk to that is struggling in their marriage. It's called The Power of a Praying Wife. And you cannot underestimate the power of your prayers in your marriage. There is just something about your prayers that you are going to pray for your husband that nobody else will. You are in that marriage for a reason. And your prayers can make a big difference. And so, one, it helps you, because I need to pray some days to even just have patience for my husband and for my family, because I'm having a bad day. It's going to help that, but it's also going to break down some internal walls that only the Holy Spirit can break off of them. And so it's called The Power of a Praying Wife. I think her name is Stormy something, but you could look it up. It's out there.
On the practical, I mean, that is practical, but like, just the straight up answer, like, Chrissy and I, we don't condone a divorce. Obviously, we believe what the Bible says. If there's abuse, if there's been adultery, if there's been things like that. And again, if one spouse is, again, very sympathetic, like, I mean, they repent, remorseful, they want counseling, they want to get help. We're always saying, like, because divorce, it doesn't just affect the couple, the married couple. It affects the children. It affects your friends. It'll affect your work. It'll affect your, I mean, future legacy. Like, it does. So I think, again, having the conversation of, okay, a marriage checkup, you could even say that. If Chrissy, and again, this is where this gets so, we let people get married so fast these days without actually teaching them what marriage is. So when you really learn that marriage is sacrificial, then I should be able to hear from Chrissy when she's saying, she's not criticizing me, but she's complaining. I should be able to hear a complaint of her saying, hey, I feel like I've been giving 100%. I feel like I've been giving 80% and you've only been in 25%. That should, as a man, I should be like, man, if that's true, I need to step up my game. But what happens is, and this is just me on my soapbox, too many times us men, we get so like offended that our wife is just asking us to be the man that we promised her we would be on our wedding day.
Yeah.
That's what she's asking. So anyways, you saying that, I really thank you for asking that. Counseling, coaching, all the stuff, trying to say, I'm going to keep going until he pulls the plug, because we've seen couples before pull the plug, get divorced, all the things. They think the next person's going to be better. And it's not, because a lot of stuff they don't just set up the healthy foundation.
Yeah.
Somebody said, if the husband disagrees, am I wrong for setting a boundary for myself?
I think that's a very general question. It depends on what it is. That's a hard one.
And I think it's just the healthy communication of what the boundary is in life. You know, yeah. Like, is it things like in finances, in the bedroom, and your phone? I don't know what that is, you know?
Yeah. Oh gosh.
Boundaries are set up to keep you safe. That's what a boundary is. When you're even driving down the road and you see the broken yellow lines, when you see the, what's that thing, the metal guardrail, those are to keep you safe from not going off the road, from not going into a head-on collision. If you're setting up boundaries that are going to protect your marriage, that's the mindset to have. Does this protect my marriage?
Yeah, that's good.
Again, sorry, oh, guys, we have like 50 messages and it just always jumps to the bottom.
Please, if you have a very important question, please private message us so I can answer it to the best of my ability later, because a lot of these questions get so lost in here and I want to help as many people as I can.
Yeah. Let's do one more. We're going to jump off. Mm-hmm. After 10 years of marriage, I wish so bad I would have known then what I know now. Do you know what I would tell you also? What you have learned, share with others. What you have learned in marriage about the things to work on, about that marriage does take work, share with others. That's really how we started the married life.
Yeah.
Is that we're like, man, we feel like that God has just been giving us like ideas, concepts, different things that work for us and we want to share with others. Like, in no way do we say we're professionals, in no way do we, you know, are we charging for this? We're marriage enthusiasts and we're just sharing what we've learned to strengthen our marriage.
Yeah.
So I would say that as anyone, even again, you're on here and you hear something that stood out to you, oh, I should share this with my friend about a marriage checkup or about the five love languages or about the gifts or whatever.
Yeah. No, that's really good.
Yeah. Yeah, we can end on that.
Okay.
Like Chrissy said, if you guys have any questions, let us know. You know, shoot us a message. You can also email us info@themarriedlife.org. That's our email address. And then if you just got on and you didn't hear earlier, all of our coaching, all of our e-courses that you can do at your own pace are 50% off. I don't know if you guys just heard that. Our kids just yelled in the background. We do this when our kids are at home because they're always home.
Yeah.
But anyways, it's 50% off. You can go to themarriedlife.org and you can look at all that. Okay, last one. Go for it.
Please. They're responding to somebody else. Go ahead. How do you ask what happened to the guy that promises to be my equal without him getting upset? How do you ask what happened? I don't understand that question.
How do you ask what happened? So it's like if I told you that we were going to be equals and stuff and everything on the marriage day, and then, you know, 13 years later, you're like, hey, what happened to the promises you made to me? You said you were going to be this, this, and this, and you're a lazy bum or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
What happens what we've seen happen is it's a slow drift, right? So everybody has a target, right? So here, you know, right behind me is, you know, what are these called? Shades?
Shutters.
So if there's a target right here, what we tend to do, we're like, we're going to aim for that target, going to aim for that target. But if we just get off one degree, just one degree, over the course of 1 year, 2 years, 10 years, whatever it is, your target that is here, you're now way over here and you're completely missing the mark. And that's what happens. We let these things drift in our marriage. And then all of a sudden we're so off target. We're like, what happened to our marriage? What happened to the spouse I thought I married? What happened to the future we were going to have? And that's why Chrissy right now, she's working on a workbook called The Blueprints of Marriage. And it's to help you have a vision for your marriage, who you are, the purposes, the giftings God has given you, how he's given those to you and your spouse to work together, and what the vision for your marriage is, the vision for your family, the vision for your future, how you want your home to feel when people come in, how you want, you know, like one of the questions Chris even asked in the book, and it's so good. If you could attend your own funeral, what would you want people to say about you? And so I think that when you ask that question, you know, and wanting to bring it up without getting upset, there's been so much of drifting. I think it's realizing, okay, we have drifted. How do we reset without me bringing up every single thing?
Right.
Because then it's going to feel like a blame game. No,
it'll, that's not helpful.
And he's going to feel super defeated. But if you just bring up, hey, what's the vision for our marriage? Where are we going? Then you're able to course correct without pointing the finger that he hasn't done X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
I hope that helps. And Chrissy's coming out with the Blueprints of Marriage. So we'll put that out there to help you guys out too.
That's such a deep question. It's really hard to answer.
It was a great question, though. We're going to end with this. Somebody asked if we do private coaching. We do. Again, if you go to themarriedlife.org, all of our coaching's half off. If you're like, oh, I don't have time to meet with them on their schedule or my schedule, especially during these crazy seasons, that's why we have our e-courses that have so much content information. There's three different tiers. So our cheapest one, I think right now on sale is $50. And it's like, I mean, it's hours
of content
to help you out. So I really hope this helped. Thank you guys for such a great Monday morning conversation.
Yeah,
I thought this was really good. Again, you know, if you're watching on YouTube, if you're watching on the podcast, you can rate and review us, subscribe, all the stuff that you know to do, hit that subscribe button. If you're following us for the first time on TikTok, you can hit that subscribe button now or that follow button, the plus button. There's buttons everywhere. Hit a button, see what it does. But we're grateful for you guys joining us Monday mornings. We try to do this every Monday. We get off some Mondays, you know, life happens just like you guys know. But we keep coming back because we love you guys.
Yeah,
and I love you. I'm Joe.
I'm Chrissy.
And thanks for joining us on The Married Life. See you next time.